Corinthians chapter number 2 this morning. First Corinthians chapter number 2. I want you to notice verse number 1 through verse number 5. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth, a very needy church, a very carnal church, a church that needed not only the Lord as their Savior, but as the Lord of their life. The Apostle Paul said in verse number 1 and following, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's bow forward to prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We're thankful, Lord, for your word. We're thankful, Lord, for these young people. Lord, I pray that you continue to do a work in their lives. And Lord, I pray that you do a work in each and every one of our lives. Lord, if there's someone here today, Lord, that has never trusted you as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that they'd come to know you before it's eternally too late. Guide and direct, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we will find the Apostle Paul being the model preacher. Besides the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe the Apostle Paul was probably one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. And being one of the greatest preachers, we find as a model preacher, verse number 2, he was a Christ-centered preacher. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He was also a Spirit-filled preacher. He said in verse number 4 and 5, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The Apostle Paul was a model preacher because he was a Spirit-filled preacher. We also find that he was an effective preacher, a model preacher, because he was focused on eternity. Look at verse number 9 of this chapter. He said, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." He was a man that was focused on eternity. I really believe today, listen, each and every one of us need to be focused on more than just our own little circle of influence and our own little petty lives. Amen. There is a certain eternity that you will face and that I will face. And when we take our last breath, we will stand before a holy and a righteous God. Right. And so he was a heaven-focused preacher, verse number 9. But he was also a Bible-dependent preacher. This is what made him a model preacher. And in verse number 13, it says, "Which things also we speak, not with words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And so he was a Bible-dependent preacher. What he preached on was based upon the Word of God. He was a model preacher. God help us to have people that will follow in the Apostle Paul's path. Amen. A number of years ago, there was a young man that went out and bought his first chainsaw. And he took it home. And he pulled on it and pulled on it and pulled on it. He primed a little prime bulb on it. And he pulled on it some more and pulled on it some more. And the thing wouldn't start. And he got so aggravated, he paid big money for this chainsaw and he needed to use it. Couldn't get the thing started, and he took it back to where he bought it. And he walked into the shop. He said, "You know, I paid good money for this thing. It won't run." He says, "Really?" He said, "You put gas in it?" He says, "Yep." He says, "Did you use a prime bulb?" He says, "I sure did." He says, "Did you pull on it?" He says, "I pulled on it and it wouldn't start." He said, "Did you flip the on switch?" And he looked, he says, "What on switch?" He says, "This one right here." And the guy primed it, flipped the switch on, vroom, and took right off. He said, "You got to turn it on." In order for the chainsaw to operate, there's an on switch. You got to flip it on. Now, that might sound kind of funny and kind of comical, but that young man was me, all right? I was probably about 18 years old at the time. I bought my first chainsaw, and I could not get that thing running for anything, and I took it back. It was actually Sears, and I took it back, and sure enough, there it was. It was a little bitty black switch that blended in, and I never even saw it. Flipped it on. You know, the bottom line is, if we're going to have something like that operate, you got to have power to it. And if we are going to operate in the power of God, we have to have the Holy Spirit flowing through us. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, as I said, was probably one of the greatest preachers. And he told the church of Corinth that his power did not lie with the excellency of speech that he had. And the Apostle Paul was a very eloquent speaker. Nor did it rest in the wisdom that he had. Verse number one. The Apostle Paul's power did not lie with enticing words of man's wisdom. Verse number two. Look at verse number three. The Apostle Paul declares his own inabilities. He said, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear." You know, it's a hard thing to be able to stand up before your peers and preach the Word of God. He says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He was telling them, you know what? I have a need of the power of God in my life. As we think about the song that John W. Peterson wrote to the choir song, "Come Holy Spirit," we realize that the Holy Spirit is all around us. The Spirit of God is omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time. Amen? And we think about the Holy Spirit in the past. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." You see, the Spirit of God was actually active in creation. Think about that. Now, we think about the Holy Spirit, and we think about the Old Testament and how that He was active there. We find in Judges chapter number 14, verse number 5 and 6, that the Spirit of God came upon Samson, and he caught hold of a lion, and he tore that lion in bits by his own bare hands. Now, if a lion approached me, the last thing I'd want to do is grab a hold of it with my own bare hands. Amen? Because I'm afraid that it would probably grab a hold of me. And regardless of how confident I felt, that was not Samson. You see, the difference was, it was not based upon his own strength. The power of God came on him. And if the power of God would come on him, he could do anything. Amen? We find that in Ezekiel chapter number 3 and verse number 4, that Ezekiel was picked up and carried about. And he went from one place to another place by the Spirit of God. We found that in the Old Testament that Barzillai, God gave him wisdom. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God was in him, and God gave him wisdom to design all the Old Testament furniture and all the tapestries that was hanging, the curtains and everything that was in the Old Testament tabernacle, that Barzillai, God gave him. The Spirit of God was in him to design all those things. We find that the Spirit of God, the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. And when the Bible says that, it means that he clothed him about, wrapped him up with the Holy Spirit of God. We find that in the Old Testament that Solomon was given the Spirit of God to rule and wisdom to rule over Israel. You say, well, preacher, that was all in the past. In Acts chapter number 2, also in the past, I realize now New Testament. But the Holy Spirit came upon the church and empowered the church. And by the way, the Bible says in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You cannot add to something that doesn't already exist. The church was already in existence on the day of Pentecost. It was not born on the day of Pentecost, as some Bible teachers teach. It was, the church was added to. The church was empowered on the day of Pentecost, not birthed on the day of Pentecost. So you see the Old Testament, and back years ago, we hear about the stories of the Holy Spirit coming upon, you know, special meetings and special revivals that took place. And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit got a hold of these young people's hearts, and I pray that God is not done with them. And I pray that God will continue to move with them. But even more so, I pray that God would move with the adults that are here. God would, He would revolutionize your home, revolutionize your life. That your life would no longer be about you, but it would be about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want you to consider, as we considered the Old Testament, yes, the Holy Spirit was active. He was active in creation. He was active in the lives of people in the Old Testament. But what about now? What about today? What about the Holy Spirit in your life today? Does the Spirit of God work in our lives today like it did in the lives of Gideon? Like it did during the days of creation? What does the Holy Spirit do? How does He interact with you and I? Does He interact with you and I? I believe that He does. I want to share with some things with you today. How the Holy Spirit works in lives of people today. In John chapter number 3, Jesus met with a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus was a man that sought after God with his heart. And it says in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, Nicodemus, it says, that came to him by night and said, he says, Rabbi, he says, I need to know more about you. And he said in verse 3, Jesus answered him and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And then Jesus in verse number 8 elaborates a little bit farther, and he says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, a person that is born of the Spirit is led by the Spirit, and that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Romans chapter number 8. Where he says, so then they that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. That is the characteristics of a child of God. They are led by the Spirit of God. So the very first thing I want you to consider this morning as we think about the Holy Spirit in the life of people today. Number one, He has the power to change you. The Holy Spirit of God has the power to change you. I've come across people and they say, well, you know what? That person, it's a hopeless cause. You cannot reach him. He cannot be changed. He's always been this way. She's always been that way. There's no hope for them. I'm here to tell you today, if the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of them, God can change them. God can change their lives. And we find here that He has power to change you. In John chapter 6 and verse number 63, he says, It is the Spirit that quickeneth. In other words, makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You want to have God change a person's life, you expose them to the Word of God. And let the Word of God do a work in their life. And as the Word of God is exposed to them, the Holy Spirit of God starts working in their life. Doing that work of regeneration, doing that work of conviction. I'll give you an example. Look at Mark chapter number 5 in your Bible. It says, and there came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. By the way, that was the tribe of Gad. The tribe of Gad was one of the tribes that said, you know what, I think we're going to stay on this, the other side of the river. We're not going to go in and inherit the promised land. And it says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, notice this, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and had plucked them asunder by him, and the fetters were broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. I'm here to tell you, regardless of how far you think a person has gotten away from God, if they come to Jesus Christ, there's hope. Amen? Here we find this man in verse 2, he had an unclean spirit. His dwelling was among the tombs. He lived among the dead. You know, we got this crazy thing going on today about zombies. And movies about zombies. And how that they're shooting and killing zombies. I thought zombies were already dead. I mean, how are they going to kill something that's already dead? You know, why is it that we have such a fascination and the world has such a fascination with something like that? Because the dead, the spiritually dead, loves the dead. But those of us who are alive, we love life and we love light. And we find here this man who was without the Lord, he had his dwelling. That's where he lived, among the tombs. That's where the dead were at. I want you to notice, he lived with the dead. Because he was lost, he had unbridled strength. The unclean spirit gave him supernatural strength. No one could bind him. He'd take the chains and break them. And I don't think there were weak chains. I don't think there were weak fetters. He had supernatural strength. In verse 5 it says, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. He had no peace, he had no rest, he was there day and night, he was self-destructive, he was cutting himself, trying to destroy himself. You know, that's what happens with lost people. They don't have any rest. Isaiah said in Isaiah 57:21, there is no rest, saith my God, there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. No rest, no peace. That was this man. We find that he was self-destructive. But, you know what the word but means? It means, never mind what was already said, this is what you need to focus on now. Amen? He says in verse number 6, it says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. You know, listen, when people are exposed to Jesus Christ, you know what they should do? They should leave everything behind and they ought to go ahead and beat feet to the Savior. Amen? They ought to run to the Savior as fast as they can, because that's where there's hope. That's where there's peace. That's where there's salvation. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the Bible says. The power of the Holy Spirit has the power to change people. It changed the maniac of Gadara. It changed the Saul of Tarsus, who was one that was responsible for the death of Stephen. But when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, all of a sudden, Saul of Tarsus' life changed, and God even changed his name to the Apostle Paul. And he who used to persecute the church is now preaching Jesus Christ. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Today, listen to me. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God has birthed you into God's family. He has quickened you and made you alive unto God. He has made you a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And one day you're going to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ in a place called heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That's something exciting. God has changed my life. I remember the days before I was saved. God gives me an uncanny memory. I can remember things clear back to where I was about a year and a half old. I remember Grandma rocking me in her arms in that old rocking chair. I can tell you the color of all the walls in that old farmhouse, that green paisley floor covering that we had in the dining room floor when Dad would open up the garage window in the basement. That thing would lift up off the floor because the linoleum would pressurize, the basement would pressurize, and the little kid, I'd go around and stomp down on the linoleum because it was raising up off the floor. I don't know if you remember that, Ann, or not, but I do. I remember before they varnished the kitchen cupboards, I remember Aunt Alice and Aunt Joyce coming up and helping Mom and Dad wallpaper the kitchen. I was about a year and a half old. I have an uncanny memory. I can tell you everything about that house. Every nook and cranny of it, because I found every nook and cranny of it as a little kid. But I also remember all the bad things I did. All the wicked things. And as a young man, all the deviltry that I got into. And I know the road that I was going down. Got married, lost. First child born, lost. But I'm here to tell you, to God be the glory, God changed my life when He saved me. Amen. And by no means am I perfect, by no means am I what I need to be, but as the old song says, He's still working on me. To make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and Jupiter, earth and Mars. He's still working on me. Amen. He has power to change you. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Listen, the Holy Spirit of God is there working in the lives of believers today. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want you to notice what the Holy Spirit does in the lives of believers. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Every person that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit has been given to you for your benefit. Manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the Holy Spirit is there to equip you. Look at verse number 11. "But all these work, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing severally to every man as He will." In other words, those gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in verse number 8 through verse number 10, the Holy Spirit confers, or He gives those gifts to you and to you and to you and to me, to help the body of Christ function in the way that it should. Amen? He equips us. Look at verse number 18 of the same chapter. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." The members are set there. If you're a member of Grace Baptist Church, God has placed you here for a reason. Not that you can just have your name on the roll, but that you can benefit your brothers and sisters in Christ by the Spirit of God that He has given you and the gifts that He has given you in the Spirit of God, so that everybody can be made a better believer by you and me functioning and using those gifts for God's glory. Amen? So He has the power to equip you. I want you to notice the third thing. He has the power to support you. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 5. So number 1, He has the power to change you. Number two, he has the power to equip you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 5, he has power to support you. You know, I'm glad that I don't have to be in this thing on my own. Amen? I'm glad that I don't have to live my Christian life by my own. Because if I did, I'd be just a helpless mess. But listen, we can have the strength that we need to get the job done because he is there to support you. He's there to equip you and he's there to support you. Look at verse number 5 of chapter number 2. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. But where should our faith stand? The last part of that verse. But in the power of God. Listen, my faith does not have to rest upon my own intellect, on how much I understand of the Scripture, but as the Holy Spirit of God illuminates me and gives me the power to exercise my faith, that's where my faith stands. Amen? I need to draw nigh unto God so that He will draw nigh unto me. He has power to support us. Some of the young people said, you know what, after Thursday night's message, I want to be a better witness. I want to see some folks get saved. Julian, you said you want to see some of your family members get saved, and that's a wonderful thing. And you know, I don't save anybody, you don't save anybody, but we can tell them how to get saved, right? But you know what? If we tell them on our own power, we're going to fail. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit on us to be able to witness effectively. It says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You see, if we're going to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be saved by the Spirit of God, but we also have to have the Holy Spirit of God come upon us, empower us. Jesus said this in John 15. He says, for without me, ye can do nothing. You try to do something on your own. See how quick you make a mess out of it. Amen? But if you wait until God's in charge, you wait until God's in control, you'll see a difference. In Micah chapter number 3 and verse number 8 in the Old Testament, we find the Bible says, but truly I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Even the Old Testament prophets had the Spirit of God that was in them and on them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. So what can the Holy Spirit of God do today? He can birth you into God's family. That makes a change in us. What can the Holy Spirit of God do today? He can convict us and draw us to the Savior, according to John chapter number 16, verse number 8, and verse number 13. He has the power to equip you. He has the power to support you. He has the power to enable you to be a witness. Listen, Julian, if you want to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, what you need to do, you need to get into the book, know the book, read the book, memorize the book, and then pray that the Holy Spirit of God would empower you to be an effective witness. Make sure that you live for God because, listen, if we try to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and we live contrary to the Word of God, we are nothing but a hypocrite. You know what? If you try to witness as a hypocrite, people are going to just disregard everything you have to say. So that means your talk needs to match your walk. Amen? Amen, preacher. And if your talk doesn't match your walk, people aren't going to listen. So he has the power to enable you to be an effective witness. And then Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16, he has the power to strengthen you. He has the power to strengthen you. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you this past week found there was a time when you needed God's strength in your life? Honestly, you found that? Well, I did. There was some times of discouragement. There was some times where I was physically weak. I needed some strength, and I needed to get alone with God. He has the power to strengthen you. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16, it says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The Holy Spirit of God not only wants to equip you, but He also wants to strengthen you. He wants to strengthen your inner man, make you strong in the Lord. I said all that to say this. Just like the man with the chainsaw. You want the thing to run? You got to flip on the power switch. Amen? You want to do something for the Lord? You got to let the Holy Spirit live in you and flow through you. Because without Him, we can do nothing. I can't save myself. He has to do the saving. I can't even live for Him. I can't walk for Him. I can't proclaim His word. I can't do a thing unless He's in it and all over it. We possess all that we need in order to live for Him. He's given us a map book. It's called the Bible. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us His gifts. He's given us His promises. He'd never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible says He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue. We possess all the power we would ever need to live for Him. All we need to do is access it. Flip the switch on. Are you willing to let the power of the Holy Spirit work in you and through you today? We know all about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, what He did. But what about right now? What about the Holy Spirit today in your life? Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit of God have His way in your life today? I hope and pray you would. First, you must be saved. If you're not saved, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because He is the earnest of our inheritance, according to Ephesians 1:13. He is the one that births us into God's family, and He is the one that seals us into the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. Are you willing to be saved? Secondly, if you're saved, are you willing to be yielded to Him? I heard a lot of young people said, "Oh, I'm going to give up music." Don't give up music. Replace the bad music with good music, amen? Because music is something that God created. But when I believe that when the first musician, who was Lucifer, when he fell from heaven, he corrupted music. That's where rock and roll started, I'm telling you. If you do a study on rock and roll, it's from the pit of hell. Actually, Alan Freed ended up coining that term after he went down to the red light district of Cleveland, Ohio, and he saw the prostitutes down there in Cleveland, Ohio, and he says, "This reminds me of the music that I'm playing on the radio, on this radio channel in Akron, Ohio," and he coined the term rock and roll because of the illicit acts of a prostitute. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm just listening to Christian rock." Puke. Listen. Why in the world would we want to associate the illicit acts of a prostitute with our Lord Jesus Christ? And I realize there's a variety in music and stuff. But listen, if the music is all about ministering to your flesh instead of edifying the Spirit of God in you, there's something wrong. Don't get rid of your music. Replace your music with good music. Amen? speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Apostle Paul said we need to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. You know, the problem with a lot of the music today, it's all about the beat. The real message speaks to us through melody. If you know the melody of a song, whether it's Amazing Grace or the Old Rugged Cross or Happy Birthday, it tells us a story. If all you have is this boom, 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 all it does is minister to the flesh and brings out animalistic instincts. You say, well, preacher, I don't like that. Well, it's the truth. Study it out. Are you willing to be yielded to the Spirit of God? Number one, you need to be saved. Number two, you need to be yielded. The question is, are you willing to let the Holy Spirit have His way in your life? I hope and pray so. The Holy Spirit at work today. Let's bow our heads, please. The Holy Spirit still saves people. If you're not saved...